for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Andy Richter is here tonight.
I'm retarded.
We're all big fans.
That's a nice drop in. People should know though that was that applause was fake.
No, it was well.
A huge studio here.
It's not recorded. It was not done in real time, but at the time it was done, the people were sincere.
For me,
not for you per se, but for all performers.
Wow.
Yeah,
there was an autograph hound.
Really?
Outside the studio.
Wow.
Today.
It's a blueser.
Wow.
Mm. Oh.
I don't know though. He was going after you. He could be going after Drew because of his new status.
Oh, yeah.
No, he had stills from the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, Felt. I'm sure you sign a lot of autographs in your day,
Well, cumulatively, yeah, but I mean not like on a daily basis. It's not like they're hanging out at Whole Foods.
I'm curious. Are you hanging out at Whole Foods, by the way?
I spend a lot. I spend way too much time at Whole Foods.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You don't get a body like this without eating organic.
Yeah, I was going to go Shakey's, but you're going Whole Foods.
Yeah, yeah. Whole Foods. You know it.
All right. Let me tell you one of the great loser, stoner, got nothing better to do kind of white trash afternoons that I used to have back when I was in my late 20s and even early 30s is the we don't got a gig. It's Wednesday. It's noon. We're hitting a bunch of lunch.
Yeah.
True. You don't know that feeling. You know, Andy, I don't know if you've ever been there.
What's I don't know what the bunch of lunch
the
is.
The Shakey's bunch of lunch. But
oh, it's like a buffet sort of thing?
It is just
I've been
that.
To similar things.
It is all the mojos and pizza and chicken you can eat. And there's something about being an adult and hitting it on a weekday when there's nothing else going on. It's a sort of form of playing hooky. Like, you know that feeling of when you skipped out on school, that weird little sort of adrenaline surge you get, like I'm being naughty.
Right.
You can have that all over again in your 30s if you go to Shakey's on Wednesday at about noon.
See, because my connection with any sort of like buffet was poverty. So I mean, it wasn't like I'm skipping out. I mean, it was sort of like been shut out of life.
Right.
You know?
Well, this
basically
this is both. Yeah, where you sort of you eat like the camel drinks. You just go. You know, it's $4. You load up. The humiliating part is when one guy pays and you show up and you just sort of, you know, peck at his food like a crow's on a dumpster. And then the manager comes around and tells you to put that mojo potato back.
Wow.
It's true. You never did that?
That I did not do.
You've done the Shakey's, though,
sure,
right?
But not eating my buddies.
All right.
See, when I first came to L.A., I went to, Sizzler. I thought, hey, that's a good deal. You know, all you can eat. And,
sure.
You know, I'll just load up and... You know, like do one big meal and
right.
just load up.
Yeah,
and
that's
it was
a healthy
it's
way
absolutely
to eat
impossible to load up on like, you know, shoe leather and
popcorn.
I hope
shrimp.
They're not a sponsor.
No, but not that we're aware of.
Yeah, but
where'd
no,
you grow up?
I grew up in Illinois.
Whereabouts?
A town called Yorkville, Illinois, which is about 70 miles west of Chicago.
Yeah,
it's sort of when things stop being suburbs and start being. Bean fields and
ooh.
I got a lot of questions for Andy because I'm curious about his career.
My whole thing.
I'm curious about your whole thing. I do have to say that I watched Ebert and Roper today, and Drew, you are 0-2, and Andy, you are 1-4 in the thumbs department.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Drew, you got
two
two thumbs down. Andy reviewed two movies Andy was in, and there's a thumb up in those two movies.
There was.
Yeah, so you're averaging.
Was it Ebert or Roper?
I was trying to concentrate. I think seeing other people, I think Ebert gave a thumbs up, too.
Oh, well, that's good.
And generally gave the movie a strongish review. True, however, your film and Andy's second film, which he looks
our
at
film.
As a paycheck.
Whereas Drew looks at it as his rocket to stardom.
That's right. It was scathing at best.
I bet.
It was a powerful criticism.
That's weird because on set, We actually had pictures of Ebert and Roper up in the makeup trailer, and we had like bullseyes around them. Like that, they were like our sort of our target.
That's your target.
Yeah, what
target
we were
reviewers.
Going for.
The target audience.
And target audience, yeah, just target
right.
the zeitgeist we
yeah.
were aiming
well,
for.
Yeah, well, because they have their finger on the pulse of the 13-year-old audience.
Sure.
Yeah,
how which did, actually could get him in trouble.
How did New York Minute do, by the way? And Drew, don't pretend like you didn't check on
the
internet.
No, I checked. I just checked. It got fourth.
Fourth? Mm-hmm. Who? Got, okay, so,
so
you got
Helsing
Van Helsing.
Killed.
All right.
And then it was like Mean Girls and...
Mean Girls hanging around.
Something else. What was the other one?
13 going on 30.
13 going on 30.
I don't think that was it. It was something else like Kill Bill or something still in there.
All right. Let me have our crack computer technician, Chris, hop on that. We should have an answer for you by Wednesday. So hop on that internet. Wednesday or Thursday, we should get back to you on that.
But it was fourth. It was definitely
fourth. Is that disappointing?
That's not good.
It's disappointing me
yeah. because there I have a financial interest in the movie.
Do you?
I absolutely do.
You do.
It's
you
not a big interest.
No.
But it was just like a way to pad out my paycheck,
right.
and to, you know, and to say like it gets to a certain point and I make a little bit, you know, like I make a cookie and then it gets
right.
to another point and I make like a
Fudgicle.
Another cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Drew doesn't have any such
like
luck.
No.
But, yeah, you got a couple of points there. They give you a taste, but you got to do it's got to do really well in order for you to.
No, I don't have points or anything. I just have there's just bonuses.
There's
couple
a mark.
Of, yeah,
it gets over 100 million. Andy Richter
in that. I'm not even sure the number.
$8.
No,
I'm not even. No, I get like you know. No, yeah, I get like one of those new Scions.
Yeah,
you know.
He's got it. Chris has it. Must have been already on the computer.
It's Van Helsing.
Yeah,
Mean Girls. Man on Fire, New York Minute.
Oh, Man on Fire. Wow, a documentary
still, I mean,
about
the
gay
the
lifestyle
four.
Circus.
I'm surprised true. That they would be upset by something being even in the... They,
who's
they
upset?
Had to be number
who's
one,
upset?
You know what I mean? I mean?
Who's upset,
I guess you're upset because you're not getting the
Andy's
cookie.
Andy's upset, but don't worry. They may, you know, you may come back next week. And then there's video releases and, you know, the whole DVD
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, overall, how much did it make, Chris? Does it say? Doesn't say.
Yeah.
Drew,
I think it was around $8 or $10 million.
Eight or ten. Disappointing.
I don't know. I don't know.
Disappointing.
I'm disappointed. Disappointing.
I'm disappointed in you, Drew. I feel like you let me down.
Oh, sorry.
All right. But good job on Kimmel Friday. Enjoyed that. Andy, okay, so questions for Andy.
Yes.
And then we're going right to the phones.
Right.
So Conan for 7 years.
Right.
How long had you known Conan or had you known Conan before Conan became Conan?
I knew him. I only met him in conjunction for doing the show.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I ultimately would have gotten to know him because we knew so many people in common. And actually, we'd been working together for a couple of years, and we just were talking about going to, like, he said, oh, I was at this party a few years ago, and this thing happened. And I was like, hey, I was at that party. So a couple months before we met, we were at a party.
Mm-hmm.
At Bob Odenkirk's house. You know Bob Odenkirk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and sort of, I was in the front yard and he was in the backyard, and we just didn't meet.
But you guys, when you were asked to do Conan, did you audition to do Conan?
No.
Did somebody have you in mind?
He got the job
right.
Because I think he and Lorne Michaels were having sex.
Oh, yeah. No, we've confirmed
that.
Yeah.
The FAA told us about that.
No, he got the job, and then he said when he got, he's like, well, I want Robert Smigel to be my head writer.
Uh-huh.
And Robert Smigel, I had become friendly with through a friend of mine that was working on Saturday Night Live,
mm-hmm.
and Robert was a writer there.
Right.
And
Robert, for all the uninitiated, he was on the show, does Triumph the Insult Wonder Dog.
Yeah, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Comic
and he
dog,
does
yeah.
all the lips on what we call the Clutch Cargos. On,
yes.
And
yes.
He also does the cartoons on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, very talented.
Yeah, he is.
And he
talented.
Knows it.
Go ahead.
Now
wow.
Well,
interesting.
He's aware. He's aware
a genius.
Of his talent.
He's
yes.
A, and you're not?
He know, I'm not aware that he's a genius.
No, oh, of your own.
No, I don't know. See, let me tell you something about me.
All Andy, right.
You may not know.
This should
first
be good.
Off,
what?
One
I
of
thought
the,
you, he,
what, no, one
people
of the
should
reasons,
know he just, he, it was like he was going to stab me with a pen when he started this
One of the reasons I'm hot to the ladies is because I don't know I'm hot. That's number one.
Sure.
And then number two, one of the reasons the men adore me is I don't recognize my own comedic genius or overall genius.
So, see, it's not that he's not hot, not a genius, not a comedic genius. It's that he doesn't acknowledge
it. I don't know it. And when a woman
it's not that he's not those things.
Sure.
When a woman is surprised when she finds out I don't know I'm hot. And that's when they fall. See?
It's when they come in after the lovemaking and you're standing before the mirror crying.
Posing down.
Solitary tear.
That's right.
Dripping. And they're like, darling, don't you know?
That's right.
You're beautiful.
I'm talking about asymmetry in my nipples.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no.
Right.
Shh, shh. Yeah. And they do that thing where they put their hand over my mouth because I'm saying bad things about myself.
No. You can't even see the scars.
I just want to crawl up inside a bucket of Haagen-Dazs. I'm so fat. All right, so now...
So he hires Robert.
Right.
Smigel calls me and says, as most of the times when, you know, you're doing a show like that, everybody says, ask all the people they know, do you have any funny unemployed friends, which is what I was. And Robert called me and said, hey, would you like to come write on this guy Conan's show?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure, and I submitted some stuff, and then I flew out there, and I was the first writer hired on the show. And it was with the understanding that they would be performing, because all the writers on that show,
right,
almost, I know all of them end up performing in some way or another.
Right. They're being in sketches and things like that.
And I was the only, there was no other sidekick. It wasn't like there was a contest. It was just sort of.
Was Conan on before you were his sidekick?
No, I was there from the very beginning.
So how did you make it from writer to sidekick? You know, it would seem like that would evolve.
It's because I didn't let them let on that I was a genius, and then they, like what you were saying.
They didn't know how high you
were. Right,
are.
Yeah.
They made them want him more.
Right.
No, I started there in, like, June, and the show debuted in September.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of time of,
right.
I wasn't writing much. And I was just cracking wise with him,
right.
And it was just getting something out of me.
Was it his idea, or was it one of the suits'
ideas? I don't know. It was like
Smigel
and him. It was like Smigel and him, and he, you know, Conan didn't talk to me much about it in the beginning of, like, I want you to be, he let Robert do it, because it's weird, you know, it's
right.
Like, it would be weird, because it's sort of like actors giving each other notes, kind of, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Smigel would say, like, why don't you go sit with him? And, like, we started in test shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first time he ever went on set and interviewed somebody, he interviewed me.
Right.
And then the next time they did, like, a test show, which was just, like, to see him in front of lights and stuff. And then they said, well, why don't you just, you go sit out there with him. And I was kind of like, well, why? And they're like, just because he likes you.
When was that? So we can understand when that was.
That was June of 93. July. No, well, that was probably more like August of 93.
Wow.
And then when we started doing test shows in front of an audience in the studio, I was out there. They bought me like one sport coat, and I went out there a couple of nights, and I thought I had the job. And then there was one night where they were like, "Keep the sport coat on afterwards. You're going to dinner with Lorne."
Wow!
And Conan and I got in Lorne's limo, and they took us to dinner. And there it was, Lorne and Steve Martin. And I had dinner with Lorne and Steve Martin. And then afterwards, people told me, well, I guess you got the job. And I was like, I already thought I did, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Was the first year or so touch and go with Conan? I mean,
beyond touch and go.
Yeah, I mean,
ridiculous.
I remember just from an outsider standpoint, well, ratings aren't through the roof, and he looks a little shaky.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if there was there close
were,
to pulling
were,
the plug or
there
what?
Were trap doors built into the set.
Really?
Yeah, and there was executives that hold on to big levers, which weren't really connected to the trapdoor. No, they. I guess there was a point. Conan and Jeff Ross and Robert Smigel, the they did a good job of parenting us, which is like not letting the children know that you're going to be evicted.
Right.
You know, they just let the kids be blissfully ignorant, and all the writers and everybody else in the show, we just kept working. But actually, there was a point. Within the first year of the show being on, it wasn't like right away. It was, you know, 8 months into it, something where we were actually canceled on a Friday. They told him, like, no, you're not coming back. And then he came in Monday, and they didn't have, a replacement. You know, they didn't have any.
They're planning on getting.
Yeah, they were like the,
Rick Dees to fly out.
I have no idea.
Or?
Well, they were grooming Kinnear, and Kinnear just didn't work out. Like they kept testing him in like a larger format, and people just weren't buying it.
Right.
And I don't know why or anything.
So that was about month eight, the eighth month.
I would estimate, yeah, somewhere
and,
in there.
And so, you know, when do you feel that the show was, you know, sort of out of the woods? Was it 2 years? Was it a year
probably,
and a half?
Probably 2 years was, like, really for sure out of the woods. But there was a point, Letterman came on the show and really was completely complimentary about the mm-hmm. show in like, a way, like, a guy who knows that kind of show better than him. Not in
right.
just, like, a glad-handing, I'm getting back at the guys that didn't give me the Tonight Show. In a real genuine way.
Right.
He was, and I think that was, and there was a lot of press about that, and that really felt to us like the tide turning.
Okay.
And I don't know if that really made a difference. Also, too, one thing that made a difference is there were a lot of, it's hard to find a word.
Coke?
On written. No. There were a lot of people at NBC,
mm-hmm.
a lot of executive types who, it's hard to find a word to describe them on the radio.
Oh.
Because they were not nice people, and they mm-hmm. were not nice. To me, I was nothing to them. They didn't even talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
But they were really awful to him. And when those people got fired, then that was sort of a sigh of relief.
It is, it's an interesting, all right, we're going to the phones. But I want to say this. Now, quiet down, Drew. I'm trying to conduct an interview. There's an interesting thing, which is if you're the network executive or executives and some guy just, you know, crawls out of the mire known as the groundlings and you give him a shot and you know he has no business being on TV and all this kind of stuff, you're always above him. And eventually when the guard changes, the new ones come in and the celebrities up here. A very wise man named Jimmy Kimmel once told me when I wanted to drive the vans or answer the phones or something here about 10 years ago. He said, don't do it because you'll just become the van driver. And even if you work your way up to president of the station, whoever was there while you were driving the van is going to look at you as a van driver. Aha.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at me, Drew. Hot and I don't know it. That's huge.
Right.
All right.
And you still want to drive a van, don't you?
Secretly, yeah.
Yeah. When you finally make enough money, you're going to buy yourself a van.
Not the station van.
No, he wants one with the big tiger woman driving a car.
Yeah, no, it says Lovetron and rainbow tape.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got the captain's chair, so it's a
and
swivel.
A bubble window shaped
the
like a spade.
The bubble window.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you're not going to have the woman on the white tiger?
Awesome. And a Blaupunk.
Yeah.
The snow leopard.
Xena the warrior
on the snow leopard. Yeah.
Right.
Wearing the pewter bra.
There you go.
And the James Gum fake arm cast.
Huh?
Oh. Lisa. You guys know what? Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about.
Lisa, 25. Bye, bye, bye. Lisa.
Hello?
Hi, what's happening?
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Enough about me. Let's hear your problems.
I was in Iraq for over a year.
Yeah.
And cool. I'm pretty sure it's anxiety, but, you know, I've never been to a therapist or anything like that, but I'm like having like a really hard time just like living in general.
Are you like, having like
with the people that I used to know? And
what were you doing in Iraq?
I'm in the army. I'm a reservist. I'm in the army reserve, and I was just a paralegal.
You're not having a post-traumatic stress disorder? Did you see some awful things?
Kinda. I mean, they did tell us that. A lot of people experience kind of like anxiety with going back.
Right.
And whatnot, which is all fine and dandy, but, you know, they're like, that's normal. And I'm like, well, that's great. That's normal, but it doesn't make me feel better than
ooh, wait a minute.
Lisa.
Just dropped the F-bomb there.
Yeah, it's interesting that the what they call the pre-morbid condition, how you go when you leave for Iraq or war,
mm-hmm.
tends to determine your risk for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Really? So you should go with bells on.
You should go. The more pristine you are, the better you're going to be.
Oh, you mean the better shape you're in emotionally.
The less likely you are to get post-traumatic stress disorder. At least dropping the F-bomb.
It's like when you It's like when they talk to these people and the guy had the snowboarding accident where he flew off a cliff and the doctor says if he wasn't in such phenomenal shape, he would have died there on the mountain.
Right. This is a converse of that.
Yeah, because to me, being in great shape and then dying, then who's the joke on? You know what I mean? That's why I'm not going to risk it, right. I think, Andy. I know Andy.
I know. Oh, boy. Andy, yeah.
Is subscribed to that,
Lisa,
too.
Lisa, you're sounding depressed. You should get treated. You're having a post-traumatic stress disorder.
And do it through the military, right?
Military is people that are used to dealing with these kinds of conditions. And although they say it's normal, they're not telling you not to treat it or to ignore it. They're telling you to anticipate it and to take action when it occurs, especially if it's impairing your functioning.
Do you think the military psychologists are in, like, fatigues and stuff and yelling, like, on your knees, scumbag, you're worthless and weak, getting up in your face, your last easy day was yesterday.
I'll be watching you.
Did you get a little glimmer of her hostility and stuff, though?
Just a little.
Yeah, the listeners may not have heard that, but she let a few things fly.
Somebody like that, I've never been to therapy. That's like,
obvious, yeah.
Yeah, you should go, because... That's like, I don't know, I'm always amazed by people that are obviously in that
trouble.
Much pain, and they're sort of like, well, I mean, you know, it'd be like if you broke your leg and you had a bone sticking out of it, you wouldn't go like, well, I guess I could go to the hospital, but
you'd
I mean,
be amazed,
come on.
And the way
know?
People want to argue with medical care, whether mental health or general physical health providers, because it's their body and their brain, therefore it's different.
Right.
No, in fact... More so. Doctors don't take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. They go to other people to be taken care of. You have to.
All right. Let's speak to Brittany. Brittany?
Yeah, hello?
You're 17?
Yeah, I have two questions. Right. One of them is, what are the odds of getting pregnant when you're on the shot?
Almost zero.
Yeah.
If you're taking the shot.
Well,
I know
flu
two
shot.
People. I know two or people that have gotten pregnant.
On the shot. And were they taking it on time? And huh? They getting the shots on time? Mom just walked in.
Somebody walked in.
Brittany?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
I miss those days when you had to go, you had to go to the house to talk on the phone.
Who just walked in? Oh, Brittany. Brittany's a...
All right.
Hello? Oh, nobody walked in.
Okay, Brittany.
What's happening?
Here's the deal. Brittany, unless they were taking medication or not getting the shot on time, it is a very effective means of...
Oh, control. Okay.
Okay, what's your other question?
My other question is, when me and my boyfriend have sex, like, without a condom, mm-hmm. unless he finishes inside of me, there'd be, like, no smell, but whenever he does, it would kind of smell weird, like, kind of like...
What are you using for birth control when he does finish inside you?
What'd you say?
By the way, we got to get out of Los Angeles. we got to get out to Canada. Brittany, it doesn't smell when he finishes.
It does when he finishes in her.
When he doesn't finish, it doesn't smell. But whenever he does, it kind of smells.
We can blame him because it's his trash. It's only your garbage can.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my question is,
I'm romantic that way.
What are you doing for birth control on those times when he is finishing?
I'm on the shot.
On the shot.
Oh. Mm.
All right.
I would say start sneaking Glade Airwick into his food.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, some guys can have a little funk with that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the mixing of chemistries there. And
yeah, you got a lot of flora and fauna down there.
Quite an alchemy.
It could be his diet.
Not so much.
Eating a lot of cheese?
A lot of asparagus might add a little something. But
yeah,
generally, that actually is more an issue of bacterial growth.
Oh, really? Maybe. There we go, cheese. Maybe is he French?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Could be Brie.
May we. With Brittany, I guarantee you the guy speaks little English, mostly French.
Yes. I'm picturing an ascot and a tweed jacket.
I think a little guy with a beret.
Oh, you're thinking that kind of like Frenchy.
Yes.
I'm picturing more sort of
international
mystery. French Riviera.
I was thinking like leather jacket and sort of like long, greasy hair.
Oh, that? Oh, artsy.
Motorcycle, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
French?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that. The dangerous French man.
May with Brittany.
The sexy.
Yeah, that's. I'm still thinking. Okay, I mean, it's my fantasy. Okay. Get off my back.
So it's interesting. We've all decided that Britney's with a Frenchman. Yeah. You have picked sort of the comical striped shirt,
cartoon Frenchman,
almost a cartoon
artist. Yes.
Yeah, the pencil and mustache under the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Whereas Andy went this sort of nouveau, long, you know,
right.
chiseled Harley, features, Harley right. bad
a
boy,
young Depardieu,
smoking yeah. unfiltered cigarettes, and I want the tweed jacket with the suede elbow patches
nice.
And the
right,
scarf,
sure.
the kerchief.
And a crest.
Any of those guys would be a likely candidate.
All right.
Candidate.
All right. To have stinky, you know.
with Brittany, specifically with
Brittany. Yeah. A little brie in her baguette. Andy Richter's here tonight. We're going to take ourselves just a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Andy Richter's here tonight.
Hello.
Andy and Drew's new joint is called New York Minute. It is out in theaters as we speak. Andy's also in Seeing Other People, which was reviewed quite favorably on Ebert and Roper.
And although
today.
Ebert,
guess 50% favorably,
gave it a somewhat negative
reluctant
review.
Thumb down, by the way, on Seeing Other People.
He, in his written review, called it Cinematic Tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was,
Seeing Other People?
No, New York Minute.
Oh.
Which I thought was actually...
Oh, T-R-I-X, tricks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Tricks are for kids. I thought, okay, that's what it is. It's
cinematic tricks, like they were...
Yeah,
we're fooling people.
T-R-I-X.
No.
We're not reading it, you screwball. Come on out there. Come on, buddy.
No.
No, it was a long process.
It's all right. But it is, now it's even more time we'll never have back.
All right. That's true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
True. World's dumbest genius. Stacy?
Stacy.
Take five if you can't get her.
All right. Amanda?
I really wanted to help her, too.
Amanda?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hold on. What is it? It's like Quaalude stutter night. Like, why is everything like just humping a curtain? It just can't. No one's.
It's too much Mother's Day.
Oh. Amanda?
Yes.
All right, 27. What's up?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm actually on. You guys are, like, the best ever.
Thanks, baby doll.
You guys are really educational also.
Thanks.
And entertaining. I had a question about my husband.
By the way, just one quick second. Adam, I hate to put you off, but help me with this sticker. Adam just tore this sticker off because I asked him to reach it for me. Like, how dare you?
All right,
Drew. I'm
putting
you out. I'm
with your stupid tricks.
Very sorry. Okay, go ahead, Amanda.
Okay.
Cinematic tricks.
My husband only lasts like 2 minutes at the moment.
All right. All right.
Mm-hmm. And we've been married for like years.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is a problem for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you brought this up with him?
I'm sorry?
Have you brought this up with him? Does he know it's a problem?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I can't deal with it. And by the way, 2 minutes seems like a long time, but like I say to my wife, hold your breath and punch yourself in the face nonstop for 2 minutes. And then tell me
it is.
How flies by.
Yeah.
It's long.
Put a knife in your leg for 2 minutes.
And yoke it out for 2 minutes
right.
straight. Just
That's
put,
a long
put the point
time.
Of the buck knife on your femur. Have
right.
it stop there. And then just yoke it out in a long circular motion
for two minutes.
And you
right.
tell me. You tell me if that's a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
ladies. I don't think so.
The reality is because those sorts of behaviors do feel so long, Amanda's probably talking more about 20 seconds or so in reality.
Right.
Be that as it may, certainly him doing things like masturbating beforehand, trying other things other than intercourse with you, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of working it out as a couple. Usually couples can
three
figure this
condoms
out.
At once.
Yeah.
Would that
yeah.
be so hard to do?
And a little girth, taking away a little feeling with
mm-hmm.
Andy. I see. I'm picturing Andy's a girthy man downstairs, by the way.
Yeah.
Andy probably has one of those...
Are you just doing it now, or is it something you've done in previous...
thought of you? Yeah, yeah.
No, I haven't thought of it, but I'm picturing Andy could be one of those sleeper guys in the junk drawer.
Like a
you know what I mean?
Type.
Yeah, just yeah. like who's... Oh,
no.
My God. Yeah, like...
Yeah.
Well,
I'm like Ron Jeremy, but without the nodules and left turns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too
All
much,
right. So
too
now,
much information.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just, you know, a guy like Andy, once in a while, you know what I'm saying, really
yeah.
surprise
yeah.
you.
Let him be.
Okay.
Right.
See, one of the reasons I'm hot is because I don't know I'm hot.
Right.
See, think what that just did
that's,
for him.
That's the thing with Andy's penis. It's huge because he thinks it's small. Joanna?
Yes, I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Here he is.
I'm wondering, what are the biological influences, particularly of childhood trauma, on the development of addiction? And if there are any differences between just generalized trauma of adults or if early childhood trauma exhibits sort of specific effect on addiction?
All right, hold on. I'm going to try to answer this very quickly because Adam gets bored with this kind of thing.
Sorry, Adam.
As quickly as I can, understand that everything
Chris,
that happens...
get my melatonin and fluff my pillow. Turn my bed down and stay away from the goddamn mint. That's mine.
His long cap for sleeping.
Light my candle so I can find the pot in the middle of the chamber pot. Yeah, go ahead, Drew.
Okay. One of the extraordinary things about the humans is that things that happen during childhood have a disproportionate effect on everything else that is to follow. And the fact that trauma, particularly interpersonal trauma, affects the way the brain becomes wired is being worked out in great detail. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that essentially 100% of my inpatient addicts have a childhood trauma history, interpersonal trauma, abuse, neglect, these sorts of things, physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect. And so there is a link there. And I can tell you the basic, the thumbnail of what happens as a result of abuse is an incapacity or disruption of emotional regulatory systems. People don't integrate their brain normally in development. And as a result, they need help with emotional regulation when they hit adolescence and young adulthood. They look for solutions. The solutions our culture offers are things like drugs and sex. They work, but then they trigger this disease.
But, Drew, if you say that it's you got a 50-50 chance of inheriting the gene for addiction, alcoholism, if your parents come from that, all those people that inherit the gene were abused?
No, not everyone ends up in an inpatient program. Some people have milder forms of the disease.
But you'll pretty much get someone to admit they're abused about almost anything. I mean,
no.
You will.
Well, people could theorize that having a parent who's an addict is an abandoning, neglectful parent.
It's a form of abuse.
Yeah, it's a form of abuse. Right. So that ups the risk right there. And people then argue, well, really, is this a gene or not? Or is it just the environment of the addict?
Right.
The fact is, when they're raised even outside of the addicted home, addiction rears its head. But now is that the factor of the issues of adoption and whatnot? The fact is that the environmental hit seems to be the abuse. The biological basis seems to be the genetic mechanism. And the more serious the abuse, the more serious the disease, typically.
Are you saying that crappy childhoods make people drunks and drug addicts?
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Stop the presses.
Yeah.
Good Lord. This is really some new ground we're breaking. You knew that, didn't you, caller? I'm sorry, I forgot your
name.
Yes,
I did, but I'm just trying to figure out if abuse is later on in life or like combat trauma, like your first caller.
No, totally different.
Totally different. Okay.
No, it's not totally different in that what that last caller had a good evidence of is post-traumatic stress disorder, and usually in every case I've ever seen, there was a childhood trauma first, the results of which become reactivated as a result of an adulthood trauma, and those traumas can include other than interpersonal traumas, things like battle fatigue.
So somebody with like who had a really well-adjusted, totally healthy childhood,
unlikely to have.
Goes to war,
usually
sees the most horrifying atrocities ever, they're probably going to be kind of okay.
There's probably even a threshold for them, too.
Right.
But the threshold's going to be much higher than somebody who has a problem.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it all makes sense.
It makes sense with me about my cutting.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Right, can we make those jokes on there?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were bringing that up tonight, Andy.
Andy said,
I'm over
the
here.
The hippo ones.
I'm over here with a compass shoving it in my hand. I'm crying. This whole, my appearance here is a cry for help. Why do you think I got in that Olsen Twins movie?
To meet up with me?
Just to get here.
Shoving a compass in his. And by the
our
way,
callers don't know what a compass is.
Like a protractor. You know, like cinematic tricks.
A protractor.
The kind that you draw circles with.
In carpentry, we would call that a scribe. We use that as a scribe.
Right.
A scribe.
Okay, I should have used something better, but nail file.
Here's the deal. Compass was a 10 to the 5 people that got it. You see what I'm saying?
It was a bold choice.
It was a bold choice.
I was actually referencing an episode of Degrassi.
Oh, really?
Where there was a girl that cut herself, and that's what she used.
You watched Degrassi. I'm very scared.
Love Degrassi.
No, tell me
Oh, it's fantastic.
Really? I don't even know what that is.
It's something my daughter watches religiously.
It's a Canadian teen show. It's like an ongoing after-school special.
But for 20 years ongoing.
Oh, it's fantastic. Good jacket, but there's a new one now. And because it's Canadian, like the kids...
Say a boot.
They say a boot. And also, too... If they did a similar thing here, everyone would be gorgeous.
Yeah.
And in Canada, they're not. Yeah. So they're like real kids and all the drama.
It reminds me of, what was that one that,
Saved by the Bell? No. Okay. All right, everyone. Let's keep moving, Drew.
Jared, what's his name? Was
I Can't Live in the Past.
Oh, My So-Called Life. Yeah.
Yes. Olivia?
Doesn't it remind you of that a little bit?
Yeah, but I didn't like that one. That one's too,
too pretty.
Yeah.
You understand this is not your own personal intercoms.
Where'd you go to high school?
This actually broadcasts.
In Illinois. Yorkville High School.
All right, that's enough. Olivia?
Hello, college. Guys.
Hi, Olivia. 21? Sorry. Do you watch Degrassi?
No, but I've heard of it.
Hey, yeah. You should. You should watch it.
My daughter watches it religiously.
I'm sure I should.
Tay, I don't watch Degrassi, but I smoke Degrassi.
Oh! Damn!
I'll tell you what, 722, 22 after 7. Andy Richter in studio today. Andy, funny cat.
Oh, man.
Funny cat. Used to catch him on Cannon. Andy has got a new show coming up called New York Minute. It's also got something coming out. It's coming out, sitcom coming out.
Oh, my God, it's coming out right now.
That. Oh. Yeah.
There it goes.
Don't drop towel, Adam.
I'll drop towel.
Don't do it.
Andy will drop towel.
Andy.
7:23, 23 after 7 o'clock. Andy Richter in here. Funny man. Olivia.
Yes. Hello. Thank you.
Olivia, we were talking to Juliana a second
Too
ago.
Bad. You're 21. What's up?
All right. Something happened last week. A couple of my friends took me out, and I got drunk. And I ended up passing out in one of my friend's beds. It was a guy. And I woke up sometime early in the morning. He had been somewhere else, and I guess he made his way to his bed, and he passed out, too. We had both been pretty drunk. Mm-hmm. And I woke up early in the morning, and he was just, like, playing with my clit. He wasn't, like, on top of me or anything.
It was attached to you, right?
Oh, yes, it was still attached to me. He wasn't
in the driveway kicking it around or something.
Yeah, no.
That happened to my sister.
Oh, really?
Nothing like that.
That's bad times.
Yeah.
But then
my dad backed over it. It was a disaster.
Oh.
All right, so...
You gotta take a break.
He was diddling you when you woke up or when you came around.
Yeah.
And that was the following morning.
Yeah, it was pretty early. It was about 4 or 5.
I have some interesting thoughts. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, hold on a second. Andy Richter and student, funny guy.
Did the audience hear what she said about playing?
Yeah.
You can say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just can't say the F or the S word.
Oh, wow.
You can't even say the F or the S word.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
Caught Andy's act at Caroline's a few months back. He's got a really funny rape bit, I think. If you would share that.
I call it non-consensual. Rape is an ugly word.
Okay, don't do the whole act just yet. Andy Richter here. New York Minute. Drew's in that film, too. 7:24, 24 after 7. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Andy Richter. Is in studio tonight.
Hey Adam, we ended that last segment with a bunch of quite a discourse on rape, and I thought maybe you want to share your thoughts about rape with Andy.
Oh, okay.
I think it's time.
Well, I should.
Yeah.
I could just check your website.
No.
It's important that
he describe the connotation of all this.
Rape is not a sexual crime. It's a violent crime. It's a violent assault. It has nothing to do with sex. It's a violent assault where you come at the end, but it is no different than any other crime of violence. So for instance, if I held up a liquor store, you know, threatened the Korean owner, took all the money, and then came, it would be no different than, you know, me physically, you know, attacking, you know, a coach on another team.
Sure.
Like it was a little league, and, you know, I disagreed with the call, and we got it. And, you know, I orgasm. But it is an act of violence where you come.
No.
But do not mistake it for a sexual act. It is a violent, brutal, violent act where, you know, you ejaculate. No different, Drew, than a vehicular manslaughter. If I chased you down and ran you over my car and you know, came, it would be no different than that. Do you understand?
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
So, Andy, you're on board with that?
Get it.
Nothing sexual at all.
It's not sex.
Pure violence.
It's not sexual.
Pure violence.
It's pure violence.
Unless
it's pedophilia, then I guess they say it is sex.
Oh yeah, interesting.
That's what they say, yeah.
Right.
They, and by they, I mean, I don't know. I mean the cast of the OC.
Olivia?
Hello.
All right, so
there we go.
You got drunk, you fell asleep or passed out, you woke up, a guy was diddling you, and this was in the morning, but the early morning.
Yeah.
And now, what were you...
Had you gone to sleep in the same bed with him?
I had fallen asleep, and then he had been somewhere else, and then it was his bed, so...
Let me ask you a strange question.
He crawled into bed.
It might seem
into his
question.
Bed.
Have you had therapy before, psychotherapy?
Yes.
Yeah, and were you because that's where that trust is coming from that we're feeling.
Yeah.
It's like first you get the abuse thing, and then it's like, but I'm looking to you for help.
Yeah.
You gave us a real specific feeling, Olivia, when you opened this call.
I've had my share of sexual abuse in the past.
Yes. Got it. We got it loud and clear. We also got loud and clear that you've had effective, or at least somewhat effective, therapy.
Yeah.
And so what we heard, what we felt, and this is going to sound kind of...
Well,
that's
just mainly Drew. You made me and Andy feel like we needed more coffee.
Did you agree with me when I brought it up?
I did. You felt like somebody who'd been abused, but, and then someone who'd gotten help.
Right. What I felt was I felt the hostility and the setup and the victimization, but that you were coming to us with an open, trusting attitude to a certain degree in terms of trusting another person for help, and that was where the therapy has worked in the past. Unfortunately, you have once again found yourself into a victimized situation.
I found this happen. I mean, I don't, and I'm not sure. I mean, I had a question, but I mean, I'm not sure because I have had a lot of therapy before, and I mean, I want this, whatever I'm doing wrong, I want it to stop.
I know that. I think it's time to get back in therapy is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because I think... You somehow decided to be a victim again, because the whole thing about getting drunk and getting down the guy's room and picking that guy to be asleep with, that was not an accident. I hate to put it on you. And not that the guy's not an a-hole and shouldn't be completely held accountable for what he did. The only way that you can change things, knowing what you've been through in the past, is to take care of those things that are going on internally.
All right. And not to say that this guy's not an a-hole.
Absolutely. He is accountable for what he did. He is an a-hole. But she knows she's a victim. She sets these victimizing roles up, and here we are.
All right. So, Olivia,
back to therapy. And you trust you have the ability to trust somebody. You have ability. You've gotten effective help from people who wanted to help you. You've let that happen. You need to go to the next level with it. It's time to go back. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I just wondered, would it do any good at all to even bring this up to him?
To him, no.
The guy who did it?
No, stay away from this guy. But if you want to tell authorities that you were sort of had a sexual assault, that'd be hard to prove and hard to get anything out of that. But I certainly would have no problem with
that. The guy, other than legal action, you should not spend any
time. Stay away.
Just
get away from him.
Here's my other rape joke that Dr. Drew doesn't get or he doesn't like, but it always cracks me up.
This should be good.
Like 1,000 rape jokes.
It's a good topic.
When you're done with yours, because my wife has a good one.
You should go
that
with?
She springs on mommy groups.
I hope it's not one of my. You know, it's frustrating sometimes when someone says, "Yeah, my wife's got a good rape joke," and then you hear it, and it's like, "Hey, that was my rape joke. She must
have
stole my rape joke."
Sure. Yeah, we all know
stole
that
it.
One.
Sure, she stole it from you. All right.
So here, it's not even a joke, but it's no good since Hack went off the air. But I used to.
That is so true about so much.
I know. I would always amuse all the writers at Kimmel by saying, this week on Hack, in order to catch an arsonist, Hack is going to have to become a rapist.
A rapist.
See, he always becomes a rapist, no matter whatever it is this week. It's embezzlement. It's fraud. It's everything. Hack always has to become a rapist in order to catch. That's the twist.
Yeah.
I call it the rape twist. Drew, you want to speak to Pat?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Pat, who's 18. Pat?
Hey, what's up?
You're a big fan of Andy's?
Yes.
All right, hurry. We're short on time.
Hi, Pat.
All right. I also want to say that I saw the movie with Dr. Drew and the Olsen twins and Rick, Andy, and I loved it, I got to say.
Oh, good.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're gay.
Andy's speaking Chinese.
Yeah.
Chinese accent.
Well,
he does speak Chinese.
I do speak a little bit of Mandarin, yeah.
Yeah.
Or so they tell me.
What's up, Pat?
Well, yeah, I just want to say my buddy Will and I went to see it, and we both gave Drew a standing ovation.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Nice.
See you, Adam.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask Andy what were some future projects, that you'd be working on?
Well, I'm going to be doing a show. It's a show on Fox, another sitcom called, it'll either be called Quince or Quintuplets. I play the father of 15-year-old Quintuplets.
Wow.
I'm in a whole multiple birth thing. Yeah, twins onto Quintuplets.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It debuts June 16th. It's part of the Fox summer launch that all of America is talking about.
Yeah, was it?
And that, just the mention of is bringing people out of comas. And it'll be on June 16th, Wednesdays at 8:30. It's a very funny show. And I'm now officially old enough to be the father of teenagers in casting terms.
Is that nice?
Which last year I wasn't.
Like
1 year made all the difference.
Hold on a second. We got to take ourselves a little break here.
Oh, we do?
Andy Richter's here. And we'll talk. And I'll heap a little praise on you for Andy Richter Controls the Universe, too, by the way, which I really enjoyed. We'll take a quick break. Andy Richter's here, and we'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dear new friend, Andy Richter.
dear.
He's a dear friend
dear,
of mine.
Dear.
Andy Richter in studio tonight. Andy's got a couple movies, a couple things. Got Seeing Other People, which is out in limited release, but got a good review. Then he's in Drew's movie, New York Minute, out in a wide release. And
which
then,
is how people are referring to it as Drew's movie.
Yes, of course.
And then middle of the summer, June 16th, got another chance on Fox, which is good because Andy had a sitcom that only lasted a season or
two
so.
Seasons.
Two seasons.
It was two seasons, but it was mid-season both seasons, which is sort of like a pat on the back and a punch in the gut.
How many episodes of Andy Richter controls?
There are 19, but I think only 15. Or 14 aired.
All right, so it felt to me like a season's worth of show.
Oh yeah, it's less than a season's
Everybody I ever spoke to liked that show.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, it's one of those. Here's what it would be the equivalent to. It'd be the equivalent to you going up to the plate against Pedro Astacio or some fastballer, hit one that just missed a foul pole and went into the bleachers, would have been a grand slam, fouling a few off, taking a few, and eventually striking out after a very courageous at-bat. You can hold your head up walking back to the dugout.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, probably score some points. I mean, it was almost too ambitious. It was almost too good for...
Too good for the public.
Too good. A little too hip.
No, it was... I don't... See, run. I mean, if the show had been on and had been left on in a fair way, I would be more than willing to go, you know what? People just didn't really want to see it. But it was constantly being dicked around and like, move from one spot to another and taken off the air for a month and then put back on for 3 weeks, showing twice a week, and then taken off for 2 weeks and then put back on another night.
Right.
And it just, there's no way to build any kind of viewership like that. And, and I had, to me, what was evidence of the show being mishandled was, like you said, everybody seemed to really like it. I mean, I'm not saying like it was the greatest thing ever. It was a pretty good show.
Andy, what are they going to tell you?
I know that's true. That's true because a lot of people when they meet me, they think I'm retarded, and so they just from the way I look.
That's it.
And they,
I'm retarded.
I'm retarded. See, but it was on in a second season, I had people. A number of people say, when's your show coming back on? And it had been on for like 2 months.
Right.
And then I had not as many, but yet a few people say, while the show is still in the air in the second season, man, I'm so mad that your show got canceled.
Yeah.
It's like a hot knife in your guts, you know?
Right.
It's searing, not canceled.
Searing,
you know?
Knife.
So, but now I'm back with Fox.
Well,
because there's been some management changes.
You're not bitter. That's the important thing.
I am a little bitter.
Oh.
I'm mad.
That's right.
No, I am a little bitter. Wouldn't you be bitter?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet you.
Now, you know what? I would be outraged.
Yeah, I'm just finding it ironic that the people that are as mad as hell and aren't going to take it anymore are the people who are actually on TV.
Yeah,
you know,
they're not
yelling at the television hierarchy.
Right.
Not at the public. But
no.
It's like, okay. Yeah.
Well, the public, what can you do? You know?
Very fickle.
Yeah, I'll throw my pearls before those swine as long as I can, till the day I die.
The point is Andy Richter's a survivor, and he lands on his feet, this kid.
That's right.
And he's got another shot on Fox. They cleaned the little house over there, and he's back in smelling
like
a
rose. That's right.
And
I've been to rehab, so they're letting me back on.
That's right, he's cleaned
up. No more pills.
All right. I don't believe Andy's ever... Andy, have you ever thrown up because of alcohol?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, now we can hang.
I was thinking you were still in a little bit of the yummy phase, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I was
What do you mean, yummy?
I got this theory. There are adults... Okay, here's it. There are adults, and I worked with many of them over here at the Mother Station for a number of years, the morning show, namely Kevin and Bean.
Yeah.
And then their old producer, Frank, and a whole bunch of guys. And, for instance, at 5:30 in the morning, I was the only one drinking a cup of coffee. They were drinking hot chocolate or Mountain Dew or something like that. And then we'd go.
Yeah,
one time we all went to Seattle and we went out to a nice fish joint. We're in, you know, the microbrew capital of the world. And they're ordering, you know, Frescas and Sprites. And I'm the only one getting the microbrew kind of thing.
And probably ordering, like, burgers at the awesome fish place,
too.
Yeah. Grilled cheese.
Right.
Yeah.
Grilled cheese. And then I realized, okay, every child is born into the yummy phase. I mean, every kids don't like beer. They don't like cigars.
Right.
They don't like whiskey. They don't like poontang. They don't, although we're not sure, because I'm going to get the bottom of it with my kid. Yeah. But the point is they don't like these things because they don't really taste good. I mean, a beer does not taste good. It tastes like a beer.
Right.
And so if they have their choice, well, they're not going to eat smoked salmon and caviar and a cigar. You're going to eat a grilled cheese with Lucky Charms and Mr. Pibb. And once in a while, you meet an adult who still seems to be trapped in the yummy phase.
Absolutely.
Now, somewhere along the line, like in your teens, peer pressure sets in. You're forced to drink the Mickey's Big Mouth in the park until you puke with your buddies or suck up a Winston cigarette or something. You learn this sort of... you learn these things. Now, I don't think they ever really taste good. Like whiskey and even like red wine and stuff, it doesn't taste good. It just tastes like red wine. It tastes like whiskey. A woman tastes like a woman. These are, you learn to appreciate them. The guys in the yummy phase, they get trapped in it. They take it to the grave.
But I also
think...
Is
that not you?
That is not me at all. No, I have very grown up taste.
He's gone the other way.
They're sort of like so grown up, it's kind of creepy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. The muskier, the better.
You know what I'm saying? You guys could hang.
Don't shower. No. I know. You just got back.
Baby, don't shower. In fact, die.
Wait a minute. Go to spinning class, then die.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk.
And then we'll talk in a week.
Or not.
Yeah. You get my trunk, and then we'll talk. No. Come on. You started it. That's not, you're the guys. This is
I knew that. I knew you were one of the
Everybody's
others.
Like, hey, come on. Let's, you know, let's walk down here. All right. You want to walk down here? Let's walk down here. Damn it. No, but I actually do think though that the taste buds evolve, and I think that the taste buds do evolve.
I think they actually kind of burn out a little bit. The whatever it is, I think we are program to want fatty and sweet foods because we need the calories to grow. And as we mature, those mechanisms deteriorate, go away, change, alter, configure to something more discriminating.
Yeah, and just something like you appreciate sour and bitter. And, yes. You know, there's something sort of chemical and structural that goes on.
I actually don't think you learn that so much as it's sort of part of maturing. Because
I think
biologically.
If you raised people to adulthood on an island and only gave them kid food and then brought them back to society, those adults would like coffee pretty quickly.
Yep, I agree.
Most of those.
Totally
and those agree. Ones that like that yummy crap would like that yummy crap. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying... But you crave the fats, you crave the starches, you crave the sugars when you're young.
To grow.
Everybody needs it.
Yeah, right.
And then later on,
it shuts off.
You start turning on like whiskey and hooker nipple.
Dead
and stuff like the dead hooker.
My older brother is a total like my older brother
hooker jerky.
You know when he's had health problems. He's 3 years older than me. And
what's he got?
He had gallbladder issues and stuff. And so, like, the way he's adjusted himself, his diet, he's overweight, but he's also a gigantic person. Sure. He's, like, 6'5", and he's a really big man. But the way he's adjusted is that, like, he'll only get 3 candy bars a day, you know. And I honestly cannot remember the last time. It's been probably 20 years since I bought a candy bar.
Yeah,
after
Halloween, there'll be the minis around, and I might have one. It's not like I would be above it, but never would I like go to the gas station.
Andy's a big movie star,
yeah,
and
he
get
is,
a
he can't be.
Hey, and
can't
all,
be what eating
no,
candy?
No, I know what you're saying.
I go to the gas station. I hang out at the gas station all the time.
You got to smoke some pot.
I have to.
Yeah.
Now I did. Now, all right.
We'll wait for the break.
Sure.
No.
I've come all the way around with Andy. Andy's every fraternity house has an Andy.
Yeah.
No. See that people think they put me in the frat thing, but
no.
Oh no. 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 No.
What'd you
Not
do?
Weird
what'd
enough.
You do?
The frat houses are loaded with.
What?
Can I say dicks?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Dicks. Yeah.
I don't like that.
I do not like that. I do not like... Could you?
Yeah.
It's actually sort of like probably my darkest secret. You know, there's the homo stuff. But then the other darkest secret is... I was a member of a fraternity.
You are?
Where'd you
go? I started out at University of Illinois.
In
Champaign-Urbana. Yeah. And I went and I joined a fraternity because... I was from a small town, and I thought, well, if I want to have a social life, and U of I is like chokingly Greek, you know, it's like one of the, at the time it was
it's
like
a fairly
the biggest.
Academic school, too.
I mean, it's a pretty good school, yeah. I went there because it was cheap, and I had pretty good grades, and I couldn't afford Northwestern.
We've seen Northern Illinois State.
Yeah.
Northern Illinois, it's just Northern Illinois, in DeKalb.
Yes,
yeah.
We've been there
twice.
You had to go back. Was it Cindy Crawford days? You know, she's
Cindy
from there.
Barbed wire and Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, yeah. I had to point out, much to the dismay of the large crowd, that yes, Cindy Crawford may have been born here, but she got her ass out as soon as she could walk. I mean, she took off immediately,
right.
Which is all you have to know. Because
the town sort of ejected her.
Yeah, well, the thing is it shouldn't be where you're born. Anyone can be born anywhere.
Right.
It's where you end up. And she was smart enough at 13 to hit Milan and get the hell out of there. And never
I'm
been back.
I'm hitting Milan.
Anyway,
I'm
fraternity.
Taking my mole and
you're
getting
in a fraternity.
Out.
The other
I
thing,
joined a fraternity
wait,
because
wait.
I thought that's the only way to party. And I quickly realized it was a mistake.
Yes.
Because there were... It was very much like what I feel like is happening in this country, because I sort of ended up hanging with the stoners, and the stoners were really kind of cool, but they couldn't be bothered to, like...
have a life?
No, to hold offices of power within the house. So it was all these other, like, guys that, when you made fun of the fact that it was, like, some sort of... All the, you know, the rituals and stuff were just, like, crypto-fascist BS from some, like... goofy Baptist from 112 years ago and said, like, no, this is really, that's stupid, all that stuff. And they get really mad at you.
Wow.
That's, you know, it was sort of like, but those guys were the only ones who would run for office. So they would
now?
Set the rules.
Right.
I know.
Yeah,
and
well,
now they're all, you know,
apologizing for photos and videos.
Yeah, those guys haven't had shows canceled on Fox.
No
way.
What does that mean?
No, I'm just
you're just fishing. you're just fishing. You don't even know what that is.
No, it was a subtle dig. It was bad. I shouldn't have said anything. I'm lashing out because
I'm sorry. He's never had a show on Fox alone canceled.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's get back to the phones. But let me say this. You feel this way sort of about politicians like this sort of Dan Quayles and even the George Bushes and many others in office. You get the feeling, you know, when they were 19, they were that stupid fraternity guy who was, making everyone go by the pledge book and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Didn't seem to be very creative. Didn't seem to be very smart, but yet seemed to sort of power forward despite their own inadequacies emotionally and intellectually. All right. Amanda?
Adam feels much better now.
Thank you. Oh, you know what I wanted to mention before Drew cut me off is DeKalb also invented barbed wire.
Yeah.
That's their big claim to fame, which, again.
They have the museum there.
I had to point it out to them that was no big kicks either. Wire and barbs both existed. You guys just... put them together.
Barbs. Yeah, but the barb industry was really
struggling
until they finally put it with wire. Oh, there's barbs all over the place.
Yeah, but the people that got in on the ground floor of the barb industry are laughing pretty good now, Andy.
Where do you think Barbie came from?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, Mr. Smart.
Amanda?
Uh-huh.
You're 22?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay, so I have a little bit of a problem. I kind of have gotten in trouble sleeping around with different people. I had a boyfriend for about 3 years a while ago. More recently, I dated a guy for a couple of months, and we're still friends. We still talk. We kind of broke it off while he's getting divorced. And his problem is that he thinks that because that was my past, that if we were to get back together, he thinks I'll keep...
Let me get this straight. He was somebody you were cheating with?
No, well, he was in the process of getting a divorce when I met him.
No, I understand that he was cheating, but were you also cheating?
No. Uh-uh.
You never cheated on him?
Not on him. Well,
or you never used him to cheat on someone else?
Well, yeah, when we met, he asked me all kinds of questions about my past and had a really big interest in everyone that I had, been with. He wanted to know. Yeah. Which is understandable. I mean, I think
it's not.
It is, but it isn't. We generally believe that people shouldn't freak each other out with that. On the other hand, from your standpoint, you should understand, unless you do some significant work on yourself, history does predict future.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and then the thing is, this is what happened. He knew that, when I was first talking to him, before we were officially dating, I was seeing someone else at the same time. And it
that's what
him.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He expects that you will do to him what you have done to other boyfriends.
Yeah, and what he did to you.
And you should expect the same thing because he cheated on somebody too.
Sort of.
Divorce. With his wife, he never loved her.
All right, they all say that. They all say that when they get divorced.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and that's what he tells me now. But it was really his suggestion. He told me, "Well, you need to call Dr. Drew and figure out what the heck's wrong with you."
Okay. Hold on. How many times have you done this?
Well, okay. So I dated a guy for 3 years, and he was the first person I slept with. Since then, I've slept with 7 other people.
All right,
and that was.
I know, but I'm asking you how many times you cheated on one of them.
Yeah.
I haven't. I cheated on my boyfriend of 3 years once.
All right.
And then this guy's making you feel bad.
Hang on a second. Let's clarify even further. Is that cheating episode, was that at the end of that relationship? Was that already done?
A little more complicated than that. I knew he was going to be leaving. He had to do, this church religious mission thing.
So
I knew a long time before he was going to be leaving, and I think that was hard for me to handle. I don't know for sure, but it was towards the end of the 3 years.
All right. So here's what's going on.
Yeah.
The guy is an older guy.
Yeah.
She's 22. He's doing a little mind control thing on her. I don't like this guy that much. I like the idea that he said to talk to Dr. Drew.
You like that, huh?
For some reason.
That's what you like about him best.
That's the only thing he's got going for him.
But...
Even that's kind of manipulative, because he knows you that you'd respond positively to that.
Maybe I'm playing into his hand.
Exactly.
Amanda, how old is this guy?
He's going to be 23.
So he's a young guy, and his marriage didn't last very long.
Well, yeah, and like I said, like he married the woman he married. It was because of like.
All right, I don't care.
No, we don't care.
Look,
yeah.
here's what it is. This guy's 23. When you're 23, you ask all those horrible questions, yeah. And you become some sort of
Sherlock
bizarre
Holmes.
Stenographer yeah. of it's this person's past, and they want to know everything. And then as soon as you collect all that information, you then start using it against them. And you end up confusing the person because it's like it's done in a way where I just don't want that to happen to me, and it's all BS.
It's not even that. It's just that male bravado. It's just the testosterone is making them angry. That this is territory where other males have been.
You were cheating on him before you even knew it.
Exactly.
Right.
That is the effective.
Yeah.
That's the affect state they're in. It's all
right.
BS.
Right. So here's what I think women, by the way, because this happens to almost every young woman when she hooks up with a 19 or 22 year old guy or something. Here's the tack they should take, not only for them but for the guys.
Yep.
Because you have to treat guys like you're treating a pet or a child.
Yep.
They need boundaries. They need to be contained. The pet needs to go in the crate. Otherwise, it's going to run all over the house.
Crap everywhere.
Right.
Absolutely.
Same with the kid, by the way. Do they have crates for them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because otherwise, you can't transport them, can you?
No. You've got to be in a box.
Okay.
They're called boxes for kids.
So here's the thing. I go ahead and punch holes in the top of
the mason jar. They come with the holes.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. You need to say to them, look, I'm not a virgin. Neither are you. I love you. You love me. Let's move forward. I have no diseases and I have no problems.
Right. Even clearer than this. Look, I haven't done anything unusual for somebody my age.
Right.
I've had other relationships. You can count on me to be monogamous in this one. That's my intention. Nobody's perfect. Let's get on with it.
Yeah, but first, you need to tell yourself that you haven't done anything wrong. Because
even
I think he's
happened.
He's,
some people have.
Yeah, hold but no, but I mean, what? But, yeah, but down. You know what? Life is...
First.
You know, people do a lot of stuff, and I'm assuming you never killed anybody, or that that you were never cruel to anybody,
right?
But you know, stuff happens, and if this guy is making you feel bad, and first of all, I don't like the fact that he's snooping around.
We're more worried about him. Yeah, we're more worried about him than we are about her.
Yeah, yeah.
Although we're completely capitulating to the fact that he referred her to us.
Right. Yeah. No, but I do think too that like if he's making you feel bad about what does not sound to me like from the little bit of information does not sound like an
unusual.
Like you have anything to
right.
feel bad about whatsoever.
We agree.
That you next time this happens. Say get out.
Andy just sort of coasts into a stuff.
I don't know. I realize it's hard to tell my time.
It's late. It's Sunday night.
Come on.
Father's Day.
Let's go.
New York Minute.
Let me jump in.
Everybody go see it.
I'm going to get a little time.
Okay.
7:22 after 7 o'clock. Andy Richter in studio tonight. Coasting to a Stop. New York Minute coming out. Coasting to a Stop. Not a bad name for a sitcom.
Coasting to a Stop.
Yeah. It's time for
that really sounds like something. Yeah.
You want to see something that? You want to check
something
that
called
out.
Inertia. Check it out.
Man, I hope that helped out. But it's not. Your boyfriend is right. You are freaking out a little bit. But we are also concerned about him.
Too much talk
He's
about
being
her.
A jerk.
Yeah. All right. Wait, let me just check in with Anthony before we go to break. Anthony?
Hey, how you guys
How's
doing?
How's the weather in Arcadia, Anthony?
You're
25.
Hi.
Yeah, my question is for Drew. I've become a compulsive eater over the years after my teenage years, after high school. What I pretty much do is I'll watch what I'm eating during the day. But then at night, I'll go out on a binge, I'll go to a fast food joint and, just eat burgers and fries. And
all right. Hold on a second. Hold on. We got to take a break. We got to go. Drew's going to go rape the candy machine, ironically, during the break. Let me just say this. It struck me, everyone's always talking about fast food and what it's doing to the kids and everyone's getting obese and everything.
I know I am. I'm always talking about it.
The thing they don't talk about and I really thought about is, fast food, the drive-thru's open till midnight or 2 o'clock everywhere now, which is really adding a whole new wrinkle to this stuff. Because, back in the day, the place would close at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Maybe the late-night one stayed open at 10. But there's no more of that sitting around feeling the urges at 1:30 in the morning and hitting the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Right. Like knowing it's out there, knowing you're, three, four bucks away from something that's open till 2 a.m., and it's around the corner. That's an extra.
Well, and it's good.
Put a severe dent in the 7-Eleven bean burrito business.
And as we've been hearing since our childhood, Adam, 60 million children go to bed hungry in our country every night.
That's right.
And his hunger is a huge problem. We've been hearing nothing but that and secondhand smoke since we were 12.
Right. Yeah, which is it? Yeah. Well, they're hungry and morbidly obese at the same
time.
And
smoking.
And smoking. Actually, there's a smoker blowing secondhand smoke at them. We're going to take a quick break. Andy Richter here tonight. We'll,
maybe.
Talk to... No, he's got a second win. He was coasting a little there. He's back. He's
just
a dear friend.
I realized I didn't have anything more to say.
No, that's all right.
It was good. I just realized I don't care about anyone's problems but my own. I know it's a problem with a show like this, but you had me come back.
No, we did.
Andy first place.
Andy clearly didn't want to come tonight. I was surprised to see him here, quite honestly. I really was. When I came through the door at 9:58,
I do what I say, except when I forget.
That's right. All right. Dear friend, Andy,
you haven't brought it up.
No, and you know what? We got to go to break. I'd like to at least attempt to hang out with you a little bit. Just not now, not for a few years.
Right.
But just because you're on my short list of cool people to hang out with. You know,
saying,
yeah, me and Rick there, we bowl a little bit. We should play some cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Something, it's cool.
We went to Splash, got a tub.
You're regarded very highly in the industry.
Thank you.
Cool guy.
For the hangout factor.
All right, we'll take a quick break. And can you introduce me to Odin Kirk, too, by the way? Because he's on my
list.
You
want to meet him?
He's on my list.
Cool
guy. I stand up with Rick. Richter and Odenkirk, me and him, we're just kicking around some ideas.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize I'd be dropping.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dear friend, guy I like to hang out with, Andy Richter. Is here tonight.
Thank you.
Me and Richter and Odenkirk and Chappelle were hanging out this week.
Man, you are cool, Adam. You are so cool.
We're just kicking around some ideas.
Sure.
Wow. We don't talk about the business.
Your stock has just gone so
high. We don't like
so
to talk
high.
About the business.
Yeah. And Hitler's clone was there, too.
Yeah. He apologized.
He did.
Yeah.
A lot.
He didn't say it in as many words, but you could tell by his posture.
Right.
Yeah.
By the heel clicking. It didn't have the snap that it should have.
No. Yeah. You know, like once in a while you see a dog's tail wagging, but it's a please don't hit me wag, not I'm happy to see you
tell
wag.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, the click. Not
they're
as crisp.
Their tail
not
under
crisp.
Their...
And harder to do with a clog, by the way, than the boots.
That's why there's no hippie Hitlers.
That's right, because you take Birkenstocks and you try to do the click, and it's just suede on suede.
Sure.
It doesn't work.
Well, what do you do about those high boots, too? The high leather boots.
Up to the knee,
doesn't work.
Anthony?
Anthony's the secret binger. And
That's right.
So you want to know how to stop this?
Yeah, because, you know, it's a terrible cycle, you know.
All right. Are you overweight now?
Actually, I've lost 120 pounds. I'm about at 200. But I can tell that, you know,
you're coming back.
I had the willpower, you know. I was walking during the days, you know, exercising and all that.
All right, got it. You know, there's a couple things. Well, first of all, not everything is known about this kind of syndrome. It's not as though we can give you real discrete answers for why you do the things you do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things like the way you eat sort of sets up some of this biology of compulsive eating, that you take these high-fat, high-carbohydrate foods late in the day, raises your insulin levels, drops your sugars, so you have more hunger. You can even get kind of an addictive syndrome with carbohydrates. It's not
really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I love sweets. I'll eat three or four donuts, you know.
Some people get that, and then when they stop, they have to actually go through a withdrawal and put their diet into a much more balanced routine. And so part of what you could do is see a dietitian. Secondly, there probably is some sort of motivational priority of your brain set up by your emotional problems that's causing you to seek solutions through food. So you can get some therapy. It's something you can do.
What about them being a bad person?
And him being a bad person, too. And then thirdly, the other thing, now, Anthony, do you remember when you lost 120 pounds, how you got to that point where you finally were willing to make the change and lose the weight?
Yeah, it was like one of the motivational things was like I was watching that Wild On thing on E.
We say Dr. Phil, because Drew would go through the roof. Yeah.
And Wild On, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, man, I want to go to one of those beaches, you know.
And how did you feel about yourself at that moment, not being able to go to the beach?
Well, I was depressed, you know. I was like,
was
man,
it just,
you know?
Did you have any other stronger feelings about yourself at that
what
time?
Was that?
Did you have any stronger feelings than just depression about yourself, that you sort of, when you saw yourself as you were?
Well, yeah, but I've actually thought about taking my life, you know, a few times.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I'm not really fishing for that. But
I saw that Wild On thing last night, actually, and just reminded me to beat off.
Yeah,
I couldn't actually beat off to it, but it was like a heads up. It's like, oh, yeah.
Kind of like
that's right.
Mental note, Adam.
Yeah, don't forget.
It's like a beat off post-it. Wild On, it's just stuck, you know, like a refrigerator magnet. You know, like, this isn't exactly the whole message, but this is going to remind me to forget.
See, the meat department at Ralph's is like that for me.
For you. You see that chub pack of ground beef and you think, oh, yeah. Especially when they form it in that circle.
Mm.
With the, you know, they do the donut shape one every once in a while.
Well, why, of course, why else would they?
It reminds you of the dead hooker.
Yeah.
So here's the deal, Anthony. One of the things, I've been doing some interviews lately on people who are able to make change, and the one thing that every single person has said to me, they talked about this last week.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was that when they get to the point where they can see themselves as they really are, they will feel disgust. And at the point at which they feel disgust, they have no problem making change.
Mm-hmm.
So really it becomes about getting to the point where you can see yourself as you really are and staying with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, then that's time for therapy.
You know what I've, I can't figure this whole thing out. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine who was just explaining to me that when he grew up, there was a drawer in the kitchen just filled with candy bars. And his mom said, you know, hey, eat as much as you want. I guess the theory was to get rid of the little taboo around it. Mm-hmm. And the kid ends up not having much of a sweet tooth. On the other hand, that might backfire.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, me being deprived of that and being fed, oat mush my whole life, that crappy, I should sue both my parents. If I thought they had a penny, I would sue both of them, by the way. The only thing my dad's got is that car I lease him, by the way. So it's the only thing that guy's worth. But the point is I eating all that crappy bran and everything, all that health food crap, just made me crave the other stuff more. So that's not a good route to go. So what's the route?
Balance.
Just balance, moderation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
I bet you got an awesome colon, though, dude.
Oh, it's great.
You got to give him credit for that.
His bowel movements are great.
Yeah. Mm. They
world class.
They come out. They're like spun sugar. They just and they're cubed.
Check it out. Check it out.
Yeah.
CorollaBM.com.
Yeah. I let like an Aztec pyramid go in the toilet the other day. It's like you tourists climbing it using a rope.
Step pyramid.
Ka-pink, ka-punk.
Step pyramid. Yeah, yeah. Nice.
I did have a particularly messy session the other day, and my wife walked in the bathroom like 2 days. It'd been about a day later, looked down the toilet, and she's like, oh my God, what? What happened here? And it's like, what do you mean, what happened?
What happened?
Yeah, I went out. I went around the neighborhood and collected crap.
I
took a dump. What do you mean, what happened? I need that.
My wife will walk in sometimes,
What's going on?
Then she's like, oh, my God, it's horrible. And you're like, well, yeah. What did you think would happen?
My ass is open and fecal matter is extruding through it.
If it smelled like warm, fresh baked apple pie, wouldn't that be more alarming?
Right.
You know?
It would. Who's baking Bialy's? Wow. That would be alarming.
That smells homey.
It's not like they stepped down in your basement lab where you're trying to create a new fragrance and went like, oh no, this is not an all over body splash. No. Andy, no. This is No, they walked into the head
mid-dump. Exactly.
What do they think is going on? Yeah, and then the toilet's a disaster, too. And so it's like, well, what went on? Wait, what went on? You take a look. The whole fact that we're talking about it means you know what went on. If it was nothing, if you couldn't see anything.
Sure.
There's that clown makeup on. If there's clown makeup inside the bowl, that's a what went on. I was teaching a clown a lesson.
Yeah, a bunch of sequins.
Yeah, there's sequins and like grease paint.
Sequins and feathers. What?
What went on here?
Did you eat a drag queen?
Right, but just the circle of Duke that enveloped the toilet. Yeah, I think we know what went on. All right. Just everybody with the questions.
Yeah.
The wives got to come in. Like, they act like they don't... look, here's the thing. We don't want to know what's going on with them in the bathroom. And imagine, by the way, their version of our big dumps is their tampons and their periods. And you don't see us, like, going through the trash can. Hey, what's this?
What happened?
What's going on here? What happened here?
I'm just gonna opt out of this one because
Andy can't tolerate that. Andy, see, that's the yummy stuff.
No, I'm fine. All of that stuff. Actually, my wife and I had a point at which our in the development of our child where my wife. There's never been closed doors at our house, mm-hmm. and my wife decided all of a sudden, like, she got prudish for the kid's sake, you know, like...
Boundaries are important.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Like, you know, like, the door should be shut, and I was like, oh, come on, if we were in Sweden, you know...
I know, even in Sweden.
Yeah, we'd be nude around the dinner table, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we still kind of, you know, there are boundaries, but I still feel like I'm not going to all of a sudden change everything because that feels pretentious and fake anyway.
Right. He masturbates while running in place in the living room at noon, and he'll be goddamn if he's going to change that schedule.
My workouts stay the same. That's right. You know?
That's right. That's right. Maniac playing in the background, Andy in leg warmers.
Yeah, a burlap mitten.
And going at it.
Yep.
That's right.
That's good for children to see, by the way.
All right. They're going to see it.
You're trying to prove it's bad.
They're going to see it.
You're trying to.
They're
going to
see it eventually, Drew. Why not see it now?
That's right.
Emily?
Yay! I can't believe I'm on.
Yeah, what's happening, baby doll?
Okay, I'm on the pill, and mm-hmm. I had a lot of unprotected sex, mm-hmm. and it was with the same person, but I was wondering how I know if I'm pregnant, if I take the pill continuously.
I want to go to Hawaii, I want to go to Hawaii.
So, Emily, I'm confused by your question.
She said, the pill.
You take a pregnancy test, that's how you know you're pregnant.
Okay, but then otherwise, because I don't know if the pill didn't work or something.
You won't bleed. You shouldn't bleed if you're continuing to take the pill and you're pregnant.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, I don't get my period when I'm on the pill.
But you normally don't get your period on the pill.
Well, she stays on it continuously.
I see. I beg your pardon.
She'll take the sugar pill.
Got it. And so you wouldn't know if you were pregnant or not. If you're taking the pill properly, the probability of pregnancy is remote. Okay. Very unlikely. And if you have a question about it, you feel pregnant, you worry about it, take a pregnancy test.
Okay. I mean, I'm not really worried. I just wanted to make sure because I wasn't sure if there was some other sign.
That's the fine we're talking about. She doesn't bleed every month. She doesn't skip that week of pills.
And you know what? Her boyfriend doesn't bust her chops on that.
She's okay with that?
With the toilet.
No.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
We know when things are sacred.
Yeah.
I want to get out of there.
And that's a very reasonable way to take your birth control pill. There are packets now sold 3, 4, 6 months at a time where women can go on without having a menstrual period. There's no reason you have to have a menstrual period from a health standpoint.
It's your blood. You keep it.
That's right.
And that being the case, it makes it more difficult to sort of alert you to whether or not there's a pregnancy. And you sort of take a pregnancy test, which are widely available now.
All right.
Okay. So I'm good to go.
You're good to go. Yeah.
Or you could always check with a psychic.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it just me? Maybe after things like 9/11 and major earthquakes and things, when psychics don't really pipe up, they lose a little credibility or something.
People are not as interested, I find, during real disasters and war.
Yeah.
When we have things to focus our attention on, we're not
yeah.
so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I have...
Strangely, it should be more so.
Haven't heard about psychics too much since
9/11. I have a problem with psychics all the time, and it would be because they're hucksters and liars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be pretty much my...
I'm the same way. We had psychics on a show. We're actually getting huge arguments with them all the time. Mm-hmm. They would... I won't tell you how they work. I'll tell Andy off the air.
Perfect.
He knows how they work.
Yeah.
Remember my cat, Norman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to... No, I can't leave the audience hanging that way. Okay. Here's how psychics work. I told him my cat, Norman, died. And she said,
10 minutes later, then.
Norman. Yeah. 10 minutes later, she said, there was somebody named Norman that was, important in your life, grandfather, whatever. I said, no. Yeah, she was fishing. And the point is she did the math, which is who has a cat named Norman that's not named it after an uncle, Norman,
right,
or something?
Sure.
Who randomly names their cat Norman? I knew no one named Norman. There was no one in my family named Norman. And she kept, here's what they do. And this is where we got in that huge uncomfortable argument where she would say, just think about it. And I would say, no, I'm done thinking about it. I don't have anyone named Norman. Well, okay, but give it some thought because I'll bet you.
Yeah.
Nope, doesn't.
A Norman Fell, maybe?
Mr. Roper, perhaps? We'll take a... but it's a smart move. Who the hell names her Cat Norman? I'll tell you, someone with an idiot sister like
that. Well, by the way, you leave it, psychologically, you leave it with, he's going to figure out who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so the audience figures, he'll figure out.
Yeah.
His resistance right now is, such that
he's got his guard up.
Yeah.
He's got his sanity guard up. We'll take a quick break. Andy Richter here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Yeah! Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Andy Richter's here.
Yes, I am.
What's happening, brother man?
Oh, you know, radio advice, sorting a lot of stuff out for people.
I'll tell you.
Where are you guys going to be hanging?
Well,
you and Andy.
Me, Andy, Odenkirk, Chappelle, and Bruce.
Bruce?
Lenny Bruce.
Oh, Lenny Bruce.
Oh, I thought you meant Bruce Valanche.
Well, I call him Valanche.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Good people.
Brucey. That's what they call
it. Yeah, we'll be chilling. You know, we'll probably be down at like Luna Park or something. But don't ask us to perform. Don't ask us to perform.
See, I thought we'd go ride the train in Griffith Park.
Mm. We'll be doing our own thing, right. Whatever it is.
And just laughing.
And we won't be talking about the industry, but we'll be laughing. You know what I mean? Yeah?
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to hang out.
We'll hold hands and then run around in a circle, like lean, pull really hard on the hands and do that whole spinning around thing.
Yeah. You know, and then I'll become that annoying guy who knows everyone's routine so that every time somebody says something like, I was at a four-way stop sign, why do they, Odenkirk does that same, does it great. Have you seen Odenkirk's four-way stop sign bit? And it's like, all right. Every idea you have, everything you bring up, they're like, yeah. Have you seen... Chappelle do that bit? It's great. It's a lot funnier than yours. Whatever. You think this is your idea? No, it's not. No. Do you know any of those guys?
That's like a stand-up comedy disease. Like the guys that like every... Like you can't have conversations and say something funny without it being sort of quantified and made into some kind of product. Yeah.
God. Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, Schimmel does that. Yeah, that's Schimmel's bit. Yeah. That part where you bang your wife, yeah, that's
right,
Schimmel.
Right.
Schimmel does a good bit on that.
It is just sharing, you know.
It's a good bit.
Amber, 23.
Andy, I love you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Hold on.
You're hilarious.
Oh, thanks very much.
Did she just let the F-bomb go there?
She said fricking.
Said fricking.
That bit where you're driving and being silent, that's Schimmel's bit, too. That's where you're not talking.
Right,
that's
sure.
His bit. Yeah, he does that bit. Amber?
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay, so I was wondering if my boyfriend ejaculated. He had a condom on, and then the erection didn't go down, so we just, like, waited a while, and then he was able to get going again, and he ejaculated again. And I was just wondering what the chances are of sperm getting, like, out of the condom.
A leakage, I believe.
I like the way the erection is sort of an
what
out
was that?
There. The erection was sort of some other concept from the boyfriend. Well, the erection didn't go down.
Yeah, so what are we going to do?
Here's the deal, Amber. That is typically how a condom fails, in fact. That's how you get a condom to slip off.
Yeah.
People pulling that kind of thing. And also there can be some leakage around the base, and it's hard to keep a condom on through all that, especially when there's extra...
That's a passionate man, too, by the way.
It's a good move. It's a good move.
And by the way, but, the condom, after you orgasm...
He sounds to me like he's young. That's what he sounds like.
Young and passionate.
Because to me, the condom coming off after you have the orgasm, it's like you were diving, you were underwater for an hour, and you pop up, you just want to rip off that mask. Yeah. Like you're now wearing the mask into the hotel.
Right.
Is what it's like. Like up the beach, into your room.
Flipper still on.
Flip all the way through the lobby.
And then the idea of sort of stewing in your own juices... Feels a little weird to me, you know what I mean?
Impassioned man cannot be bothered when he's on a mission. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then isn't the reservoir sort of have the turkey gobbler effect? And isn't that...
No, because he's not ever soft.
He's filling it out.
He doesn't care.
All right. So
all I can say is he's a weak ejaculator, because all I know is those things shoot right off of me.
Yeah.
There's no way it could.
No.
It'll slip off.
Boom!
No, you know, in the movies where they hit the gas depot and the 55-gallon drums of jet fuel explode, and they just go this rocket into the air in slow motion. That's what it looks like when Richter has an orgasm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So what's that, Amber?
I was just wondering how we'd be able to keep the erection then, like, if we did take off the condom and put a new one on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
He'll keep the erection. This is the kind of guy that will not have a problem keeping
the erection. Yeah, and don't look at it as sort of one erection. And look at it as there might, you know, even if this one goes away, there'll be another one.
Soon to follow.
Right.
You won't be able to tell the difference.
For the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, I've lost a few of my favorites over the years.
Yeah.
Didn't you call it same boner, different jizz?
That is really the same, yeah. Yeah,
that's what he did.
Yeah, that is the male multiple orgasm. Same boner, new jizz. Right. Right. Thank you.
Got that, Andy? Taking notes?
Got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that in Griffith Park. All right. Let's talk to Joshua, who's 26. Joshua?
Yes.
What's happening?
All right. Here it is. This is actually for Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go. I'm listening. Go.
Okay.
I'm 40 seconds.
I'm a very habitual pot smoker.
Right.
And not too long ago, I was at a company party where a few of my friends who I see sort of outside of work and myself engaged in some pot smoking.
Right.
And people who were kind of higher up saw what we were doing.
Right.
But they didn't have a real bad reaction at the time. It was just kind of like, okay, we know what you're doing over there.
Right.
Every time I go to work now, I'm kind of faced with that. And it really scares me. I don't know really if it's going to be something brought up.
What kind of work do you do?
Works at Arby's.
26.
No, what kind of work do you do?
I'm in a software company.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, there's other stoners in a software company.
Everyone is a software stoner.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I know there's other people that do it, but we just haven't, you know,
What's the issue? Here's the situation with work. Be good at what you do. Show up on time. Don't be disheveled. And it'll all go away. And by the way, here's the thing. All you good employees, you really got nothing to worry about. Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
You just show up and be productive and start creating and take care of business. You'll have a job.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, and that's the show. I want to thank Andy Richter for coming out here tonight. I really did not expect to see Andy tonight.
Really?
Why?
He said he'd be here.
Well, it was...
How dare you?
Because I forgot.
Because he's a liar.
Because he's retarded.
And he's a backstabber.
I forgot.
And
I'm retarded.
Mentally challenged.
God.
All right. Andy Richter, everyone. Seeing Other People and New York Minute. All in theaters as we
Cinematic
speak.
Triumphs.
Yes.
Both of them. And
Quintuplets, June 16th, Wednesday.
That's right. All right.
Check it out.
God bless you, Andy. We'll be hanging out.
All right. Absolutely. Yeah. We're going right now.
Yeah.
Going to the clubs.
Yeah, we're going to do some clubbing. Drew, you in?
Yeah, I'll come with you guys.
Okay. So until next time.
I'd be cool too then, huh?
No.
No.
Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I'm retarded.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.